You talked about a sharing economy, and Jochai Benkler, for example, talks about the information or network information economy. What's the new thing on that economy comparable to old economy?
Well, I think the really important point, regardless of the name you use, is to recognize something which, once you see it, is really obvious, and that is there are different economies of creativity. Right? So, you know, the Sony lives in one economy where they pay their artists, people buy their CDs. The idea that you would go out and volunteer for Sony is a crazy thing, not because Sony's a, you know, bad company, but because it's an inappropriate way to deal with a company, the idea that you would volunteer to help Sony. It just doesn't make sense. So people interact with Sony, artists and lawyers and distributors of content and advertisers, in the traditional commercial marketplace. That marketplace produces extraordinarily important value for the world, right? It, in lots of different contexts, creates products otherwise that couldn't be created, and it's necessary and valuable and needs to be supported. But the critical point that Benkler and others are making obvious is that's not the only productive economy out there. They're also increasingly prevalent in the context of the web, communities that are their own economy, that are producing great value. But the norms or the ethics of those communities are different from the norms and the ethic of the commercial economy. So thousands of people spend endless hours making Wikipedia into this fantastic web-based resource. They do it for free. They do the most tedious, insanely boring work for free. And one thing, why they do that is unclear, but one thing that I think is clear is if Jimmy Wales went on to, you know, got the board of Wikipedia to agree they would pay editors of Wikipedia for their edits, I think you'd get fewer edits in Wikipedia, not more. Because people in that community aren't doing it for the money, they're doing it for the love of what they're doing. They want to produce something great, and they do it in a way that, you know, is outside of the commercial marketplace. Now, the point to recognize is that this also produces great value. And rather than being dogmatic and saying, well, we either have to have the commercial economy or the sharing economy, like an extreme capitalist or, you know, extreme communist or something like that, to recognize both of these economies live together in our social life, and we want both of them, right? There's some places where it's totally appropriate to think about the commercial economy. You know, when I go out and my job during the day, I want to be paid for it. The idea that my university would say, oh, teach because you're part of the sharing economy of knowledge would be ridiculous. No, I'm only going to teach if you pay me. But on the other hand, there are parts of my life where it's totally inappropriate to think about the commercial economy, right? So, you know, I love my wife. I have relations with my wife that are based on sharing. They're not based on money, right? The idea that I would say to my best friend, let's have lunch and I'll pay you $50 if you'll have lunch to me, is a kind of perversion of what the nature of that relationship is. So these two kinds of economies live within our life all the time, and we need rules that encourage and facilitate both of them to exist. Now, I think what's most interesting in the internet economy is increasingly we're seeing businesses that are hybrids between these two. So think about Red Hat as the best example. And Red Hat wants to make a lot of money. They want to be the next Microsoft, at least in the sense of that profitable. But they build their profit on top of a sharing economy. People who for free produce improvements to the GNU Linux operating system in a way that is driven primarily by the desire of people to produce and create and share their creativity, not because they're being paid for it, right? Well, the thing that Red Hat has to do is to figure out how it can exploit, in the best sense of that word, this sharing economy without polluting it, right? Because if it does it in a bad or clumsy way, then people will say, I don't want to contribute to this GNU Linux operating system anymore. Why should I? People are just taking my work and making money off it. I'll go do something else, right? So it has this delicate balance it has to strike to be able to profit but not pollute the sharing economy that it's building off of. Now, that's the most famous example, but as you begin to think of what's important about the net right now, there are many, many, many more examples that really have nothing to do with software anymore. So think about Second Life, this virtual community online, where, you know, the programmers of Second Life originally just created a platform where if you become a member of Second Life, you go out there, these empty fields, people spent, you know, endless amounts of time building things for this platform. For free, they're creating value in this platform. And that value makes Second Life more valuable for other people. So Second Life is, again, trying to create this economy where people will, for free, create objects which make their platform more valuable so they, in turn, can sell more memberships to that platform. Think about, you know, MySpace. You know, these kids come on and take this coding space and they build value in it, drawing more people to it in a way that makes the company ultimately very, very valuable. Now, you know, MySpace, the company, is trying to profit off of this. But again, it can't profit in a way that makes it so the kids say, oh, this is you know, sharecropping. I'm not going to go put my work in there and get nothing in return. So they, again, have to strike this balance between the commercial and the sharing economy. In my view is, we really need to figure out what makes the sharing economy work. And that comes, again, from not being dogmatic and insisting that there's only one way of looking at the world, but instead being much more Catholic in our willingness to incorporate different perspectives and learn from them, because it's an empirical question right now. But but if we get it right, it could produce great opportunities for value and wealth in the traditional way of, you know, money, but also in the social way of opening up opportunities for interaction and community that before the internet had been shut down by, you know, the traditional way in which the market and real space functions.
You gave us some examples of business models, but except maybe Second Life, it sounded more like a hybrid models. What can real sharing economy business models be, or how will they look like?
Well, in my way of defining the world, if it's a business model, meaning a model someone has for making money, it is by definition hybrid. Okay, so let's be clear about some examples. Okay. iTunes is not a hybrid economy. You know, iTunes is a platform for a traditional commercial economy. The idea you would volunteer for Apple and iTunes is silly, right? They're just trying to sell product or services. They're doing it very well. They're profiting because of that, and good for them, right? But if what the company is trying to do is to profit by leveraging a community, you know, they could be doing that in a very thin way. For example, getting people to provide ratings of products, which then makes it easier for people to figure out how to buy products. That's what Amazon does. Or in a very thick way, where what they're trying to do is to get people to build communities around content, like Flickr, and rate other people's content in a way that makes it easier to identify. In that case, Flickr, that's very much a hybrid economy, because they want to make money, but they want to encourage a community. Now, on the other extreme, you can have sharing economies that are just about the sharing economy. Nobody's trying to make money out of it, right? And Wikipedia is the best example of that right now. I mean, Wikipedia is the constitution that really limits its ability to make money out of itself, right? It is a community. And if all of a sudden they started putting ads up, there would be a revolt of people, because it is just about the community right now. Now, of course, the license permits people to take that content to do whatever they want with it. But in some sense, as long as they obey the share-alike like rules, but in some sense, the community is really just trying to build a community there. Now, I think that there's a place for all three of these different economies, right? There'll be always a place for the pure commercial. There should always be a place for the pure sharing. But there's an increasingly important place, this thing that's new here, for the hybrid.